Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
You're listening to the Pro Wrestling Show in association with TalkSport. This week, one half of the Raw Tag Team Champions. I'm not going to tell you which one it is. I'm going to keep you in suspense. We're also going to talk about a decent Raw and SmackDown this week. We're going to look forward to WrestleMania card, which is coming together. The G1 Supercard is also coming together. We're a little bit more excited about that one. And we will react to WWE Fastlane. We know it's late, but we've been very busy, all right? This is the Pro Wrestling Show in association with TalkSport. I'm John Jackson, and this is Will Gavin.
Hello!
Once again, Will's at home. Once again, Will's waiting for food.
Excuse me. I mean, that second part is absolutely true. What do you mean, once again, I'm at home?
Do you not remember? Oh, no, it wasn't food. It was the postman.
It was the postman. Oh, stop. Wait a minute, mister. Yeah.
I'm sorry. I've sold you down the river there. This is the first time you've had food delivered live. Oh, by the way, Alex isn't here this week. Alex was here last week, but Will wasn't. Is that right? You were away?
Yes, that was correct.
And then the week before, I was ill. So basically, we've not done a show together for nearly a month.
Go and subscribe at Pro Wrestle Show on Twitter and Instagram and give us 5 stars, please, because it really does help. Lots of love on Twitter has been fantastic. And our numbers have been kind of steadily going up over the last few weeks, which has been lovely. But it really helps when we get the reviews, etc. Why are we not telling them which half of the Raw Tag Team Champions we've got coming on?
I thought it might be a nice tease because, like... You know, if you were like,
I'm going to tell people it's Dash Wilder.
Oh, I was going to say if you had like one half of the Rock and Sock, yeah, you'd be like, oh, is it the Rock? Is it Mick? But or Mankind? But okay, fine, it's Dash Wilder.
Big Mick. He was at Sheffield United this week watching his mate Billy Sharp.
That was weird, wasn't it?
Go third in the championship table. Well, stay third in the championship table, and then did an event at Bramall Lane. Very odd, the whole thing. We reached out to try and grab him for an interview while he was out here, but he literally came into the country, did a gig in Sheffield, then left again. Like, he didn't do a usual tour around. So we will do our best to get him next time he's over. And stuff is starting to come together for Mania weekend. We're going to the SiriusXM stuff that, you know, Booker T, etc. will be at. We're going to go to WrestleCon, which Vicky Guerrero and Lisa Marie Verón are going to be at, who we've got interviews coming up with probably next week, or I might just release them as a separate episode, John, at this point.
Yeah, I think that's a special. They're two excellent women of wrestling.
Good stuff. Good stuff.
I say women of wrestling because I don't think Vicky Guerrero could be considered a wrestler.
No, but she is a woman of wrestling.
That's what I mean, woman of wrestling, yeah.
Absolutely lovely. You may have heard them on TalkSport if you listen to the overnight show. We have played them both out, but we haven't had them on the podcast yet. So those will be coming. Loads to talk about. We'll get into WWE stuff. But I think we should start off, because we always start off with WWE, with some other business.
Go on.
How would you feel about that?
I'm all for change.
Right. So the part of arrangements for Mania weekend is sorting out going for the G1 Supercard and arranging some interviews for that at Madison Square Garden, the Ring of Honor New Japan show. And we've had some more announcements of matches for that. So we already knew that Jay White was going to be going up against the New Japan Cup winner at Supercard. We now know that Jay Lethal will defend the Ring of Honor World Championship against Marty Scurll. That's very exciting. Obviously, Marty Scurll still with some time left on his contract with Ring of Honor. We all would expect an AEW link up in the future once his contract is done because of his links to the Elite. But do you know what? If they want to put the title on him before he goes, I'd be more than happy with that.
I think he deserves it as well. It's been very consistent for years.
Yeah, he's been brilliant for them. The Ring of Honor Tag Champions, the Briscoes, going up against the IWGP Tag Champions, Guerrillas of Destiny. So that's Tama Tonga et al. We've got Taji Ishimori against Dragon Lee against Bandido for the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Championship. A great opportunity for Bandido in particular to put himself in the shop window. So that card's coming together really, really nicely. And I treated myself this last week to catching up on a bit of the New Japan Cup. I watched the last few nights, saw brilliant Will Ospreay match defeating Lance Archer. That was fantastic. A good like 4-5 star match. Tomohiro Ishii looking really good again. It hasn't all been glorious. There were a couple of nights that weren't so great. Colt Cabana was not fantastic. We had Davey Boy Smith Jr. In the first round. He lost, but it wasn't a brilliant match. So I think the quality will increase as it goes along. Undoubtedly, the matches of the if you're going to go and just watch one night of the New Japan Cup so far, though, day three saw Zack Sabre Jr. beat Evil and Kota Ibushi. This was a first round match. Kota Ibushi against Tetsuya Naito. 20 minutes, legitimate 5-star match. Like, honestly, unbelievable. So now we get Sabre against Ibushi in the second round. So the New Japan Cup is well worth checking out. And during the opening of the New Japan Cup tour, a video package was shown, which showed that El Fantasmo, who's been doing a lot of work in the UK indies recently, is now joining the Bullet Club and joining New Japan.
It's all going off.
They needed to replace these guys who have left and gone to form AEW, and slowly but surely, some nice little bits of talent getting involved.
I think that's really interesting for him. I saw him at recently at Rev Pro, and I've not seen him for maybe a year or so, and I was really impressed. Like, he's really come on, and I'm sort of glad that he's getting to sort of go properly international now, and sort of with a big group as opposed to just doing the indies. So, I mean, will he still come out to Bangarang, what's it called? Is it Bangarang? I always get mixed up with him and the other guy.
Boomerang. Yeah, Bangarang is what they say in, maybe that is what the song is, but isn't Bangarang what they say in Hook when Rufio is doing something and they all go, Bangarang! is that not a thing?
I don't know. Hang on. So, hang on. I'm just trying to check.
Bangarang is the name of the Skrillex hit.
But is it El Fantasmo? I can never work out which one of the two it is. There's Rev Pro. There was three different dubstep intros. It was like if you really loved dubstep in 2010, you were having a great time. Oh no, is it Angelico? I think it's Angelico that has Bangarang. All right, well let's go back. Will El Fantasmo still come out to insert generic dubstep in New Japan?
Probably, maybe.
They'll do like a Bullet Club Bangarang.
He won the British J Cup last year as part of Rev Pro, which, you know, previous winners of that have included, I think, Zack Sabre Jr. won that in the past. So there are guys who have shown that quality there. Going straight into the Bullet Club, I mean, I know the whole idea of the Bullet Club is evil Westerners and evil non-Japanese people forming a stable. And so I get why he'd go in there and join them straight away. But it's bold just throwing him straight into the Bullet Club without necessarily recognition. It gives him a real shine early on. I think it's really interesting.
Do you think his character might change a little bit? Because, you know, he's kind of like a fun guy. If he's becoming one of these, you know, traditional Bullet Club figures, surely, I mean, he's got the look to be more of that sort of traditional sort of heel look as opposed to being a fun time kind of guy. It's surely going to have to change that.
I think he'll still do all the high flying stuff, but I think you're right. I think we might see a bit of brutality enter into his character and a little bit more, a little bit more ruthlessness maybe, as we would kind of come to expect from,
he normally comes out in like a waistcoat with a hood. Do you know that kind of like, you know, like a Stone Cold, whatever, like a leather kind of waistcoat with a hood. And he was at Rev Pro, he came out in a hoodie. That's not going to happen in New Japan. He won't come out in a hoodie.
I like the idea of it.
Hey, I'm an evil Westerner. Buy my hoodie. It's not going to happen.
The Super Strong Style 16 was the other thing I wanted to mention, which is the card for that is really starting to shape up. So we've now got 10 of the entrants for Super Strong Style 16. So we know that it's going to be, we've got Travis Banks, Ilya Dragunov, Trevor Lee, who I love, Aerostar. There's some really interesting ones in here. DJ Z, Artemis Spencer, Jordan Devlin, Chris Ridgway, Chris Brooks. And they've just announced that Derby All In is coming to the UK for Super Strong Style 16. I think that's going to be proper good. He's getting a lot of love from the indie faithful for coming and doing Super Strong Style 16. And when they've got Kaiju Big Battle that weekend as well as part of it, oh, it's all very
easy. And that's been upgraded, hasn't it? Because that was going to be at the Dome, and then I think the sort of scramble for tickets meant that they went straight away, and now they're having that at Ali Pali. So They're going to turf out everybody that's got a Super Strong Style 16 ticket and wait in the foyer, go and get
send
some
you
food.
To the bar.
Go to the Bodine's van, which is our personal favourite. Then you go back in and have some craziness. Like, that's really cool. I imagine there's probably still some tickets left because it's a big venue upgrade, that.
Yeah, huge.
We went last year, didn't we? I think I only went to one day, but you went to another one, and that was the one where Jordan Devlin was allowed to book his own spots, and they decided that would be the only time in his career that Jordan Devlin was allowed to book his own spots. So,
well, that's not a story I meant to have told on the podcast, but we have now.
So. Oh, well, it's been long enough. Hi, Glenn. So I think if you've never been to Progress, or you know, a lot of people haven't been to any indie wrestling. I was fairly late onto the scene with indie. I kind of, my first indie show, proper indie show of the sort of current ones, was Progress at Brixton when Marty Skull was fast became one of my favourite wrestlers. And if you've never been to an independent show, you're used to just, you know, the sort of TV product, which is absolutely fine. Super Strong Style 16 on the Maybank Holiday is a really good place to start because there are just, you know, there's some great matches going on. Loads of people that have been in that promotion, and there is a story. So if you like what you've seen there, you can go back and watch them. And then obviously, as you just said there, a lot of people they're bringing over for the first time. So you can kind of start watching them in progress from the start, even though you've only just watched it. Does that make sense? I think it makes sense.
Yes. I think it makes perfect
Basically,
sense.
It's a great weekend and you should go to it.
ICW, this is the other bit of really interesting news from the UK indies this week. Rogue to Wrestler is a brand new show from ICW, which is coming to the new BBC Scotland channel, although I'm hoping it will be available on the old iPlayer. Oh, Arsenal have just taken the lead.
Is BBC Scotland new? I thought BBC Scotland's been around all the whole time.
Apparently, they've got a new dedicated channel rather than just being like taking over BBC Two for X number of hours of the day or whatever it is they do at the moment. They have this new Rogue to Wrestler episode one, Tuesday, 26th of March at 10 p.m. Very, very exciting.
You really are, aren't you? Oh, by the way, We need to go to Scotland soon for ICW, but also the NXT definitely. Tapings are in Glasgow next month. So I think we should go there for the NXT UK tapings, and I think we should try and do like a live podcast, even if it's we've done it before at WrestleMania, no one turned up, just me and you in a bar, open invite, you know. So if anyone's got any recommendations, any bars you go to when you go to ICW, I think it's in Glasgow, isn't it, the NXT UK? Just give us a shout, and if we can make it, we'll try and do a live thing.
When is it? What weekend is it?
It is. Well, I got it in my calendar. I found it the other day.
19th and 20th. Am I back? I'm back from Mania weekend by then.
Oh, Will's booked WrestleMania. Yeah. That's the other breaking news this week. Will's finally booked his flight. So you flying with, Will?
British Airways, maybe?
Only the best.
I don't remember.
Only the best for Gavin. It's actually, I think it's Good Friday, isn't it? Good Friday and the Saturday after Good Friday. Is that a boxing Good Friday? I don't know if it has a name.
What?
What's the day after Good Friday called? It's not Easter Sunday. It's the
Saturday.
Day in between. It's just Saturday. Chocolate Saturday. All right. So we'll be there at NXT on Chocolate Saturday.
Chocolate Hangover Saturday.
Yeah. It's good.
Yeah,
it's good.
Exactly. Apparently, so that's all good. I was going to go into more detail, but there's just no need to. There really isn't.
No, I mean it. I know. I'm just sorry. I was imagining you going into what you do on Chocolate Saturday. That's purely why I laugh.
There's a lot of the other thing is there's a lot of we talked New Japan at the top, Rev Pro and New Japan's show at Royal Quest. Tickets came out this week. They are still available. There's loads of cool stuff happening with them at WrestleCon as well. But they've announced, in addition to the Japanese names coming over, Tetsuya Naito, Tanahashi, and Okada, three of the biggest stars New Japan have ever produced. Will Ospreay will be at the Copper Box. And this for me is the big one. Red Shoes is going to be there. The best referee in all of the business. And he's not going to be going and doing a show in LA with Kenny Omega like he did last time. So I'm going to go just to go and hang out with Red Shoes.
You going to hang out with him? Or are you going to do that? Oh, you're going to do that thing where people say...
Hang out with in that same way that, like, my wife claimed that she hung out with Prince Harry the other day because she went to a charity event that he was also at. But it was at, like, Wembley Arena and there were, like, 7,000 other people there.
Exactly.
That's not... You understand that's not hanging out, right?
No, so you're technically in the same room, except that room is bigger than most small towns. So, you know, it doesn't
Perfect.
Make any sense. No, that looks
Perfect.
That looks really good, and I'm glad they're doing that properly. We talked loads and loads about the last tour that was with Rev Pro, haven't we? And it wasn't quite, it didn't quite live up to our expectation. But with those big names, then, you know, surely it's going to.
Right, let's get into the WWE jazz.
The World Wrestling Entertainment, yeah?
Exactly, perfect. How long have we gone so far, John?
How long? It's only 16 minutes. Yeah.
Minutes. Ah, 16. There we go. I think we do Dash Wilder now. I'm just completely mixing things up. I say we change the script up. Let's do Dash Wilder now.
There's a script.
very good. We spoke to Dash Wilder off the back of their incredible tag team match, that 10-minute sprint they had with Ricochet, Aleister Black, Chad Gable and Bobby Roode at Fastlane.
Yeah.
But prior to any involvement they had in the angle on Raw, and talked to him about that match and a little bit about tag in general, and did they actually request their release and the FTR stuff, like getting that brand, was that part of it? And Alex McCarthy did the interview, and it's really, really good stuff. So let's hear from him.
Really enjoyed last night, man. Really great match. I thought it was one of the strongest matches on the card. I know plenty of fans on the internet talk about how much they'd like the revival to have a chance to really show on the main roster what they can do. How did it feel to go out there and tear it up?
Oh, first of all, thank you very much. I was very happy with how that turned out, and you know, it was a match that wasn't announced until I want to say Monday night, so it wasn't a whole lot of build behind it. Wasn't a whole lot of story going into it. So we were all three teams were very happy with the outcome because the crowd was there with it. The crowd was reacting. They were invested, and that's what you want. You want the crowd to be invested in whatever you're doing, and it's a lot harder to get that when there's not a big story going into it.
Yeah.
So for it to turn out as well as it did, and for the match to just go as well as it did, because triple threats can be very tricky, especially with tag teams, because there's six guys in there and seven, including the ref. There can be a lot of bodies, a lot of movement. It can become chaos real easy. And I was very happy with how we all worked and controlled ourselves.
How was it kind of received when you got backstage? You know, tag team wrestling and maybe hasn't been spotlighted as many would like. Did they receive it the same way a lot of the fans did?
Yeah, there was a lot of positive feedback. They were all very happy with it. Very, very few things that they really critiqued, and that was just things that didn't really involve it being tag team wrestling. It's just wrestling in general.
Yeah.
So they were all very happy with it. Really, really positive feedback. And I think it's a positive sign for tag team wrestling that we were not only on the main card, but the match went really well, was received well, and everybody was happy.
I got to say, I first became a real fan of you guys, obviously, in NXT, and I was actually there in Orlando when you guys tore it up at the Amway Center with DIY and the Authors of Pain. It was an incredible match to be there for. What do you think? You know, a lot of people get sort of gravitated to the revival around then, and then there's always that stigma of translating from NXT to WWE. Is it just different the way Triple H handles NXT to Vince handling the main roster? Like, break it down for people why they might not understand how things aren't quite the same.
Oh man, I wish I understood, but there's just so much that goes into the Raw side of it, the SmackDown side of it, and the NXT side. NXT, you have a little bit more time to get things situated and to build stuff and to get everything flowing in the right direction, whereas Mondays or Tuesdays can be very hectic. Everything can change in an instant. So it's always like kind of just flowing and moving. Mm-hmm. I thought, as you said, like that around that time period was probably when we were at our most popular, and it was it worked out really well for us, like with the debut against New Day and everything, and the fans were really good for it. And I feel like the injuries, obviously the back-to-back, one to me, one to Dawson, I feel like that obviously put a big kind of bump in the road for us and took away a lot of the momentum.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I feel like just, I don't know, the crowds are a little bit different. NXT, for the most part, their crowds are a little more diehard and a little more in the know, I guess, kind of. Whereas Mondays or Tuesdays, they're also, they reach out to a broader audience, a more casual audience, I guess. They still come out and they have fun and they make noise and they enjoy it, but they don't know as much about NXT. They don't know as much about TakeOver Orlando as they do about the Royal Rumble or WrestleMania. So it's just getting those guys established and things going the right way. And like I said, like right now, we're doing a great job with Ricochet and Alistair, getting them established, and they're coming across. They look great. They look like stars. They've been presented well. And I feel like we were in a very similar situation, but ours just happened to get derailed by the injuries.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny you mentioned the injuries. I spoke to Matt Hardy before, and he told me that you were actually primed to work together before those injuries. So that kind of almost robbed you of the same opportunity that Aleister Black and Ricochet are getting now, right?
Yeah, yeah. That's one of the things I've talked about recently is I broke my jaw after my second Monday night. So we were only on 2 weeks, and I had to get it wired shut, and I missed 2 months, and then we came back and immediately started something with the Hardy Boys. We came out, beat them up after a match, and had a good thing going towards SummerSlam. And we were very excited about that because they're a team we've looked up to for a very long time. Because they're just two North Carolina boys like we are. And they kind of made us realize that you can come from a small town in North Carolina and be successful. You don't have to think it's unrealistic. So like they inspired us more than I think they even know. Like just because they kind of helped open our eyes to the fact that we could be in WWE someday. So for us, like that was going to be a dream match. Like we get to wrestle the Hardy Boys at SummerSlam. Whew, who would have thought that was possible?
Mm.
And then there was an accident where Dawson tore his bicep a month after I came back. So within 3 months, I would say, yeah, 3 months, we had two pretty significant injuries. So that one hurt. Because the first one we could come back from, we were still around. We were still seen on TV. The second one was a little bit longer, more rehab for Dawson. And just that one hurt a lot because, like I said, we were going to work with the Hardy Boys and we're going to have that opportunity like the NXT guys are getting now. And it just, there's nothing you can do about it. It's out of your hands.
Yeah, it certainly sucked at the time. I feel like I have to ask you about the reports emanated a few months ago around you guys asking for your release and trademarking FTR and all of that stuff. Talk me through how true those reports might be and the idea behind the trademark.
I won't touch on it too much. I will say like there's a lot of non-truth to that. The trademark was just something that we wanted because we want merchandise and we want t-shirt ideas and we want to make sure that no other company can use it because it's not just a thing that we've been using, obviously.
Yeah.
And other people using. So we wanted to make sure that if we were to print t-shirts or we have it on our gear now that we had the legal rights to it. So nobody could say, hey, you can't have that on your jacket. You can't have that on your shirt. Now it's something that we have the intellectual property of.
Yeah.
So we can have it on anything we want. So if there is more merchandise, then there shouldn't be any issues with that. So, I said that we do want more for the tag division, 100%. We do want more opportunities, and we were very vocal about that. But like I said, there was a lot of things that reported that weren't accurate.
Yeah, I can understand your take on that. And obviously, you know, everyone's speculating of releases and all things like that. And I can understand not wanting to dive too deep. But just for you personally as a performer and, you know, for the Revival as a whole, what is it that you guys, you know, what makes you happy in this wrestling business? Because it looks like since you've had the belts and you've got Sasha and Bayley holding the belts, you guys look like you're close and helping each other out per se. What is it that you're looking for to stay satisfied in the WWE, I guess, is a roundabout question.
For us, we want a healthy, competitive tag team division where all the tag teams get matches on TV and not just like every now and then. We want, you know, there will be weeks. There was a time where the tag team champions were off 2 out of 3 weeks in a row. Like Rude and Gable were off 2 out of 3 weeks. And it's hard for anybody to get invested in people like that. It's hard for anybody to care or for anybody to have a reason to. And I can't blame them. Like if I only saw it like the champion every few weeks, I wouldn't really invest myself as a fan. As well as if I see somebody like Roman or somebody every week, like then that's something I get behind because I just see them every week and there's continuity there and there's always something going on. If I see somebody once and then I don't see them again for a few weeks, I'm like, oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Like, we just want to see the tag team division featured prominently because we know what tag team wrestling can bring to the show. We know what it has to offer. Look at the trilogy, the three-way matches that the Hardy Boys and the Dudleys and Edge and Christian had. Like, they were... I don't know. I don't think they ever actually main evented a pay-per-view, but they were the matches that everybody walked away talking about.
For sure.
There was a time where tag team wrestling was one of the hottest things on the show. And then you look back at even further, you had the Hart Foundation, you had the Rockers, you had Arn and Tully, you had LOD, you had so many tag teams that were so good, and they had time to go out there and have great matches, and they had time to develop characters, and they had time to do real storylines and have real storylines unfold over time. And nothing felt rushed. Nothing was forgotten about. Everything had its place. And that's what we want. We don't care if we're the last tag team champions or if we never have the tag team titles again after this, as long as the division itself is getting opportunities. And that's what we want. Like, if we have a lot of teams here right now on Raw that I feel are very capable and very good and just need that opportunity to show that. So as long as that's happening, as long as the guys are getting fair treatment, I would say, as equal opportunity as a bunch of the other matches and the other performers, then I'm happy. And that's what we really want.
Is it fair to say that the tag division is kind of constricted within itself as well? Like, you don't, you know, you mentioned the Dudley Boys and the Hardy Boys and things. And I remember them working with top guys, like, you know, it might be makeshift tag teams, but it was still kind of main events where you might get the Dudley Boys versus, let's say, The Rock and Jericho or something like that in 2001. Do you think that the tag teams could be used more in spotlights like that? They don't just have to kind of, you know, it's a bit like the Cruiserweights at one time. They don't just have to face each other or not be on the show.
Oh, without a doubt, I feel that way. That's something we've actually been working on trying to make happen more often. We feel like there could be opportunities where myself and Dawson wrestle two other single stars, be it Finn Balor and who else is Balor and Rollins would be great for us.
Yeah.
Like, if we could have a match with Balor and Rollins, or if we could have a match with any two superstars that are in that light, that are seen as main eventers, and just have great matches with them, I would love to see that. Or if there's a six man where we team up with Baron Corbin to take on some of the Shield guys, I would love to see us mix it up a little bit more with people out of our division.
Yeah.
So, like you said, that we're not painted within ourselves. We're not just kind of restricted to just tag teams. We're all throughout the show, and I would 100%, without a doubt, love to have more of that.
Yeah, it just seems like something that used to happen that isn't quite so commonplace anymore, and I'm not quite sure why. But anyway, I digress. We're into WrestleMania season. You know, huge event for you guys. You know, last night was your first proper main show.
It was indeed.
Yeah, I mean, that's crazy to actually think about. But when you're looking at WrestleMania, you know, I suppose that we can half tell what's on the horizon in terms of the teams that are in front of you. But for you guys, what's like the dream matchups that you look at there? Or, you know, what would you guys like to accomplish this year and beyond?
I don't know. That's a that's a tough question for me to answer because we have a lot of ambitions and a lot of goals and things that we want to reach. I think personally this year, I don't know if it's possible. I don't know if it's within reach, but we're going to do everything in our power to make it. Would be a match with Rude and Gable, a 2 out of 3 falls for the tag team titles, because I feel like those guys have so much to offer as a tag team, and they've only scratched the surface, especially on TV, compared to what they can do. Like, I know what each guy is capable of individually, and I know what they're capable of as a team now, because we've wrestled them on live events all across the world at this point. We've had 40-minute matches. We've had 2 out of 3 falls matches. We've had straight-up matches, and I can't say enough how much more they have to offer to this division and how great both guys are, as much as I love that we beat them. I think I would love to have a 2 out of 3 falls and showcase what we can do with them, because the four of us will go out there and we'll work harder than anybody's going to work, and we'll give the fans something to remember.
Is that something you've kind of lobbied or pitched for already?
That's something we're going to pitch for until the day's over.
Yeah.
I don't know if it'll happen. I don't know what's going to go on, but up until WrestleMania goes off the air, we'll be pitching that. So,
well, thank you very much for your time today, buddy. Really looking forward to seeing what you guys can do in the next few weeks. And hopefully you get a full entrance, hey? How about that?
We'll see. We got to get those announcers introduced too.
That's got to be an ongoing rib. It has to be, surely.
Who knows? Who knows anymore?
Well, thank you very much for your time, bud. I really appreciate it.
No problem. Thank you.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Alex McCarthy there, who's not here for reasons unknown. He will be back next week, hopefully. This is the Pro Wrestling Show. That was Dash Wilder.
And Dash Wilder, of course. I love that. Alex McCarthy there.
I like introducing Alex as the star. Oh, good, good.
It's like the champion coming out first for a championship bout.
That's it. You hate that so much, don't you? You really hate that. It's one of your pet peeves. That was a very good chat, a really exciting chat. We're going to have, as you've already said, we've got Victoria, we've got Vicky Guerrero coming up as well, and loads of other big names. I'm sure at WrestleMania weekend, which, you know, you haven't mentioned as much as I thought you would be, we'll probably chat to some more people, right?
Don't want to rub it in, mate. Come on.
Okay, it's good. You're maturing with age.
In a way.
Let's talk about... Do you want to talk about Fastlane now?
Yeah, let's run down the Fastlane card quickly, because there's a lot of it is turned into build for Mania. And a few weeks ago, we talked about, is WWE nailing the build for WrestleMania? And actually, I think Raw and SmackDown this week, you had two really solid shows. NXT was brilliant this week. And actually, NXT UK was really good this week as well. I think TakeOver is going to be just unbelievable again. This is the problem. We can't do spoilers for the tapings, because the NXT tapings happened this week. But the match that was announced at the tapings for the North American Championship has me at full chub in anticipation.
I knew it would as well. Yeah.
Do you know what it is?
I do. You know, I've read it, yeah.
It's gonna... Mate. Oh, buddy. And the thing is, I've talked a lot about the US title, the North American title, changing hands a little too easily, a little too quickly, maybe. I'd be fine with a title change there because I love the person that the person is facing.
Okay. I love. I might just sit back and just let you to see if you
just talk my way out of this.
Yourself in it? No. Okay.
Right. Look, so
no clues. Let's just leave it. People don't know.
So the TV was great this week, but we were earlier discussing the Mania card, and it is beginning to look a little bit on the bloaty side. And I know it does every year, but I'm at a point where I may be chubbed about 50% of the matches.
Yeah, I'm harder to please, as you know. And if you're listening, you might have grasped that Will goes, you know, generous chub. I'm really hard to chub up. And I'm excited about, I'd say, maybe 40%, if not just a third so far. But
okay,
just
we'll get into it. We'll break it down. Let me just. Do you want me to do? Because I know that you didn't get to see Fastlane in full, just the highlights.
Yeah, so I've been very, very busy this week. I've only seen WWE are really good at putting clips on YouTube of Raw and SmackDown, and that's great because I can watch that while I'm on the move. But it's quite hard to watch a 4-hour pay-per-view while you're on the tube. But yeah, you can fire away.
So, Fastlane 2019. The good points of the show. The pre-show, Big E and Xavier Woods, Shinsuke and Rusev had a really nice, fun little tag match. That was great. The Usos against Shane McMahon and The Miz was a good match, not great match, but the spot where one of the Usos went for the splash and Shane McMahon coast-to-coasted him out of the air was absolutely unbelievable. Like, literally fantastic. And I know Shane McMahon is someone I've occasionally been quite down on, but on this occasion I was pretty positive about it. My food is here, John, bear with me one moment.
Okay, well, I'm just gonna fill for a little while here. If for some reason you've not heard the beginning of the show, we explained that Will is sitting there at his house waiting for food. I'm in the usual studio, which is why I'm crystal clear. Will is on Skype. He's ordered a pizza. See if we can hear him getting a pizza from the gentleman or lady. Hang on. He's muted us, hasn't he? No, you can faintly hear it. I'm trying to hear where he's ordered from. I think it. I'm gonna say he's gone Pizza Hut because for some reason Will likes Pizza Hut. I'm not entirely sure why, because Pizza Hut is the most inferior pizza of the big three.
What have you just been doing for the last 2 minutes? I'm absolutely going to cut out.
Will, the big question is that everyone's been wondering, where did you get your pizza from tonight?
I will not be revealing my sources.
Really?
No, I just went to Domino's. It was the one that had the best deal on.
I was just saying to everyone that you're the only person I know that actually likes Pizza Hut.
Oh, yeah, I used to work there, so
it's far inferior to the others. I'm glad you went to Domino's. Yeah, that's all I pretty much said. Just talked about pizza for 30 seconds. So,
do you can cut it out or not? It's up to me.
No, I think we'll leave it in actually, because I've got the I've got the power. So.
Right.
The Usos are going to get, I mean, obviously now that has led to Shane versus The Miz at WrestleMania. I'm kind of hoping that it's not just a big spot match and maybe Shane is just, you know, maybe Shane's quite brutal and it's not, there's no stipulation, is it? It's just, at the moment, it's just a one-on-one.
I like the fact that it is, that they're reversing roles and doing something different. I like things that are different. That is a positive. I'm not big on the idea of Miz not as a heel, to be honest.
I know, but I think we talked about this last week while you were in Amsterdam, and we were saying that we think it's, if he's got that TV show and he's got the second baby on the way, it kind of fits in with him being a babyface. And I know you hate that because you love the Miz when he's at his nastiest, but it's best for business,
isn't
it?
He's a glorious asshole.
Yeah, basically. It's best for business.
My favourite Miz. You know that's my favourite Miz.
But you also know that'll come back. So, you know, he's just been put away for a while and it'll be better when he comes back, right?
All right. I'll let that be.
How's that slice of pizza going down? Good?
I'm trying to do it subtly, but I'm eating a slice of garlic pizza bread. It's real good.
Oh, you went for the meal deal.
And then the Usos will be, apparently it's a rumours are a multi-tag match, ladder match. Now, that is a match I'll be excited to see when you consider the talent that's on SmackDown. You look at that. On SmackDown this week, they did the Aleister Black and Ricochet against the Hardys, against The Bar, Rusev and Nakamura, all involved in one big tag. And I do think that it is stark how much better the SmackDown tag division is right now, especially if they put Aleister Black and Ricochet on that side. But there's rumours of something like a ladder match or something, and I'm all in on that. That's fine. I'll take a nice 20-minute mental spot fest in the middle of the card.
No, I'm big on a ladder match. I think it'd be very, very good. I'm sort of glad that, you know, like the Usos, out of this sort of feud which has led to this Miz-Shane McMahon match, that I know it's not been confirmed, but, you know, the Usos will still... And apparently, aren't they going into WrestleMania as, I think, the only tag team to go into WrestleMania 3 years in a row as the champions?
Oh, really?
Yeah. Not my stat. Someone else's stat. If that was your stat and you're listening on Twitter... Hats off. I hope you got lots of retweets and not quite as many likes, making it thus look slightly better. We know how Twitter works. Another match has... Go on.
I'm going to go through the Fastlane card and we're going to use it to build up to the Mania stuff.
This sounds right? Way too much like there's a plan, but go on.
Asuka beat Mandy Rose. There was a dreadful finish involving Sonya Deville trying to go under the ring apron and then leaving the ring apron on the ring and Mandy slipping on that ring apron. And it was rubbish. It was so poorly executed. And it's, again, not making Asuka look strong, because they then did the same finish on SmackDown with the other way around, with her facing Sonya Deville. And okay, she tapped them out, whatever, that's great. But Asuka is just still not being lifted up. And I don't really get... Unless they're going to do a triple threat with Mandy and Sonya, but they hate each other at this point. That could maybe work, but let's talk about being Lacey Evans as well with her nonsense walking in. I just don't know. The SmackDown women's title, put that on the pre-show. I hate to do that to Asuka, but you've just not done enough for it.
No. And like, I think last year she had that match against Charlotte Flair, where obviously her sort of winning streak went down, and it was one of the highlight matches of WrestleMania. I think this year she's going to get lost in this sort of poorly executed kind of half-assed story that no one's that fussed about, especially with all the other bits and bobs going on. It's a real shame.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. I'm going to skip over the Kofi Kingston stuff because we'll get to it.
Okay.
We had the Raw Tag Championship match, The Revival beating Chad Gable and Bobby Roode, Ricochet and Aleister Black. Great match, really good sprint. And there's one spot from it in particular that you've got to see, John, if you've not seen it yet, where, because it's a classic triple threat tag match where only two teams can be involved, Ricochet dives over the ring post doing a move. Chad Gable tags him in midair whilst he's doing this somersault over the ring post into whoever's on the other side of it, and then comes in and ends up eating the pin off the Shatter Machine.
Wow.
And it's brilliantly done. But the tag off the... Like, honestly, it was a moment where it was so amazing that Chad Gable afterwards seemed to be like, did we actually just pull that off? Like, he was stunned as well. Just do this again at Mania. Not literally that spot. Just have this match again. That's fine.
If they came out, did that one spot, and then there was just a no finish, would that still be a better match than potentially some of the other unnamed matches on that card?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, I think I agree, actually, yeah. Okay.
Another brilliant... Like, this actually... Fastlane was really good fun. Just some of the booking annoyed me later on in the show, which we'll get to. The US title match was brilliant and Samoa Joe really shone, and Rey Mysterio, how that man is still as good as he is at his age. I think he's having his best run in WWE for 10 plus years right now, and I love it. Andrade can't have a bad match. R-Truth's gimmick right now is great and he's working well. Fine. It looks like, based on what they did on SmackDown, that we might just see a straight up Joe against Rey Mysterio at Mania, and I'm fine with that. But equally, I think it'd be a shame if Andrade, who is a 4-5-star match machine, isn't in some way involved on the card, outside of hopefully not the dreaded Battle Royale. Because nobody's mentioned those on TV yet.
You don't need to.
I'm hoping they're just not going to happen.
No, it's like those unspoken things. You know it's happening. No one just talks about it because it's just a given that it's going to happen. I think Andrade's also been really, you know, for the last 6 weeks, he's been very consistent, putting on great matches, obviously with Rey on SmackDown. And as you say, for him to then be bumped off so they can bring Samoa Joe on would be a real shame for him. Is it his first WrestleMania?
Andrade, yeah.
Did he appear in the Battle Royal last year?
Takeover. Was he, no, was he on the Takeover card last year? He was on the Takeover card earlier in the year. I think he was on the Takeover. I think he was called up just after.
Yeah.
I think. I can't remember the exact timing, but it was something like that.
Okay. But yeah, we've been massive shame for him.
The women's tag match, Sasha and Bayley retaining, fine. Weird thing at the end with Beth Phoenix getting involved and Natalia getting involved, which suggested that those two are going to have a match with Nia Jax and Tamina, which suggests that Tamina and Nia Jax are still going to be involved come Mania. Just shame, put them up against the Iconics. Put them up against literally anyone else.
So hang on. So let me get this straight. This is something that I wanted to discuss with you. So everyone's been talking about how Trish and Lita are potentially going to go against them for these titles at WrestleMania. But then obviously this thing with Beth Phoenix and Natalya has happened. So do you see that Beth Phoenix and Natalya coming back maybe for a match on TV will then lead to Lita and Trish coming back? Or do you think that the Lita and Trish thing is now not happening and that it will be these two that end up going for it, maybe, as you say, in a triple threat? Because I can't work it out.
Something's happening and I can't really figure out, which normally I like when I can't figure things out. But if I was our friend Simon from What Culture, I would be giving this a down. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
I didn't like it.
Not at all.
We then had Daniel Bryan against Kevin Owens and Mustafa Ali. Now, this is where we have to bring in the Kofi Kingston stuff. So earlier in the night, Vince McMahon tells Kofi Kingston that there's going to be a triple threat match and he's going to be in it. Great. We all thought that that was going to be the triple threat match and he was going to be added to the championship match. He wasn't. He had a triple threat match against the Bar, which was really a handicap match, and just got absolutely squashed. This Vince McMahon screwing over Kofi thing is going great for me. I'm really enjoying it.
Well, it's just building, isn't it? It's setting it up because it's annoying. It's annoying casual fans, serious marks, and people like us. I don't know where we fit. We're sort of in between.
We're all of the above. And then, actually, when the championship match starts, they announce it's going to be a triple threat again. So the crowd go mental for Kofi. They think it's a, like, we'll have him so he's in a really bad state, but then we'll still have him involved. And out of nowhere, Mustafa Ali comes out, which was bizarre. It was bizarre, but it led to... He didn't get booed, but there were all sorts of Kofi chants. What it did lead to was realising just how good Mustafa Ali has been on the main roster and just how good he is, because he went into that match, absolutely worked his ass off, had some amazing spots, some brilliant moments. The finish with him going for the crossbody off the top rope and Daniel Bryan hitting him with the knee was ridiculously good. And he managed to completely win the crowd over in like what was about 15 minutes. He was superb. So again, are we getting another multi-man match? Is it going to be KO and Daniel Bryan and Mustafa Ali and Kofi Kingston? Because if you've seen the end of SmackDown, you now know that Kofi next week on the show is going to have to face
the gauntlet, isn't
it? The Bar, Rowan, Samoa Joe, and there's at least one of the... Oh, and Randy Orton. So he has to face all five of those in a gauntlet match. I don't really... like... There's no way he wins that, right?
Well, you'd think that's how it's going, but that makes the other guys look a bit naff. Like, yeah, oh, I get you're building him up, but there's some pretty big people in there who don't need to just be run through by this new guy. It's a
and
weird
one.
Could
do something like, because it's a gauntlet, is it no disqualification?
Don't quote me on that. Alex is your man for rules, but let's say it is.
So if it is, what you could see is AJ Styles screw over Randy Orton to continue their build, which their promos this week on SmackDown. Oh, when they were doing the dueling promos, when Randy was saying, like, I was here headlining WrestleMania while you were hanging out in Florida getting a tan with Dixie. Like, really going after his indie background, and AJ talking about how it's all the indie stars now that are the ones that are doing so brilliantly in WWE. It was really, really, really great. Just fiery stuff from both sides. And actually, it's the most I've cared about Randy Orton in quite some time, which I feel like I say about once a year, but like this feels different. So I'm excited about that. But you could have that happen. You could have the Usos screw the Bar. You could have, like, they could do something. Like, they could maybe make it a gimmicky thing, but like the rest of the locker room standing up for Kofi. But yeah, I just can't imagine a world where he beats those five incredibly top-end stars, as they all pretty much are.
There's got to be a plan. Again, there's always a plan. Let's just see how it plays out.
All right.
It'll be fine.
Let's not talk about it anymore. Let's just not do a podcast.
Let's just end. No, I have full belief that they will execute this Kofi Kingston WrestleMania moment. Whether he wins or not, I said last week, I don't think he'll win. Whether he wins or not, I feel they'll execute it perfectly, and I have full trust in the WWE.
We then had Becky Lynch against Charlotte, with Ronda coming out, hitting Becky, getting the DQ, the exact finish that was predicted by Al on the show last week, which isn't as... I think a lot of people called that this could be the finish. Becky was not allowed to get anywhere near enough stuff in, and they've really overcomplicated this whole thing. It should have just been, she won the Rumble, she should be allowed into the match now she's not been suspended anymore. But they wanted this match at Fastlane. The match itself was farcical. Just let Becky get a little bit of offense in. Just let her have a little bit of hope, a little bit of, so we could see something. But they're really doing down this top star that they've managed to build up. At least this week, we had a throwaway the crutch. We had just a promo. I think we're going to see her not get physically involved for the next couple of weeks. And then magically, her knee will be fine.
Of course it will. Just in time. It's amazing how that happens. I was hoping that maybe she'd come through with an attorney like Tommaso Ciampa was back in the day when he was on... who was it? Was it against the Great Khali?
Something like that.
When he was the very fresh-faced attorney, I thought maybe she'd bring an attorney and they could do something like that. But unfortunately not. Just get into the legal stipulations of it, because everyone's loving a bit of, you know, what with Brexit going on and all that, you know, a good sort of proper, like, official argument might be of the time, but no.
I'm liking, like, hard heel Ronda. And actually, I'm really disappointed Al's not on the show this week, because his whole thing about having a big old whinge up about Ronda saying that wrestling's fake. What I don't understand is why he's okay with Triple H coming out, referring to Dave Bautista by his real name, talking about this isn't in the script, talking about, like, and he called that a brilliant promo. Why he's okay with Roman Reigns calling himself Joe and talking about the business and talking about that stuff. It just seems to be the word fake that he's objected to. Because otherwise, he seemed fine with everything else that's happened. This is an era where kayfabe is pretty dead, guys. And I've liked the Ronda stuff. I think, actually, it's kept me still interested in something which they nearly, very nearly tanked.
That's very true. I think, well, I don't know. He gets riled over the weirdest little things. I think one day, after like maybe 2 years, we'll find out what there'll be something in it. The one little thing. Is it the word fake? Is that what you're going with for now? That he's got.
I think that's what's upsetting.
Do you think when he was younger, someone did the whole wrestling's fake thing, and he just hasn't got over it, and this is like a real flashback moment for him?
Yeah, 100%. I think that's exactly what's happened.
Okay, and now, by the way, Alex, when you listen to the show this week, whether that is today, whether that is sometime over the weekend or early next week, this is where you'll now text me and Will and say, "Oh, don't pick on me." So just predicting that, just for Al, that little bit there was just for Al. If you're listening and your name's Al, it's not for you. It's for just one Al.
And then we had the Shield. It was good. It was fine. They did the spots. It was a nice enough match. Baron Corbin is a load of rubbish. But Drew McIntyre is a superstar. And the stuff they did on Raw with setting up a match for Roman against Corbin, Drew actually came out, concussed Roman, kayfabe concussed him, and then Dean demanded a match, and they had a really brutal Falls Count Anywhere match, which ended with like a spot that genuinely made me think that this could end horribly, when he put Ambrose's arm and head through a railing and then did the Claymore kick on him, breaking the railing, and as far as I was concerned, very nearly popping his head clean off his body.
Clean off. His head came clean off. We're looking at what? Roman Reigns versus Drew McIntyre at WrestleMania. Is that what we're decided on?
Yeah, I think they might have just written Dean Ambrose off TV with that match on Monday. Legitimately, I think that might have happened. So,
well, Roman Reigns is still trying to work on it, apparently, although no one seems to believe that and still thinks that Dean is definitely going.
So let's talk about Mania stuff, because that is something I'm excited about. Stuff that they did on Raw this week, giving the IC title back to Lashley, I'm not even going to get into it. It's made me incredibly angry.
Yeah, seems weird, doesn't it? But then a lot of people online have been speculating it's been done because there's bigger plans for Finn Balor.
Oh, we'll get to that in a moment. Kurt Angle announcing that he's retiring after Mania and then beating Apollo Crews in some weird 3-minute squash in front of his home crowd for one last time wrestling in front of Pittsburgh. It was odd, but I was fine with it. And I'm all right seeing Kurt Angle wrestle one last time at Mania this year.
But we're thinking about SmackDown, his opponent, aren't we?
Yeah.
And we're thinking
SmackDown, we've talked about all the stuff from this week. I think we've covered off everything apart from how angry I am about the IC title.
Yeah.
So let's just run through what we think of the Mania card that we're looking like we've got so far.
Okay. I've got a list in front of me. So do you want to go? Let's go bottom to top. So Buddy Murphy's going to go up against someone for the Cruiserweight Championship. Whether this makes the main card or not, we don't know. Obviously, we know that this match is taking place. Who is it going to be? Will it be Tony Nese or will it be Cedric Alexander? What are you saying?
We've seen him and Cedric Alexander before, and Tony Nese, the development of his character on 205 Live has been really interesting. I'd kind of be happy with both, though. Buddy Murphy might have an argument for being top five WWE performer in 2019 so far, or late 2018, early 2019. He's been brilliant. He's just been stuck on a program that no one seems to really care about.
Well, I mean, we could see him drop, legitimately could see him drop the title and make his way to SmackDown or Raw, really.
Yeah,
I think, what they've done with the other fella, what's his name? My mind's gone blank because I'm trying to work out who's down for Ren versus Arsenal. Mustafa Ali.
He could do an unbelievable job with.
Yes, I think he will. I think he will potentially, now is the time for him to move.
I think they might give him his Mania moment and then move him afterwards and have him drop the title in some way. But yeah,
it's his WrestleMania pre-show moment.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, brilliant. Miz versus Shane McMahon, we've already talked about. I kind of hope that, as I've said before, I would like to see Shane McMahon just not trying to do big spots and just being a bit brutal.
I might go for a toilet break at the beginning of this match and just make sure I'm there at the end in case he does anything crazy.
Just wait for the spot. AJ Styles, Randy Orton. Again, we talked about that just now. I mean, other than that and the main title matches, we just got Triple H Batista, which I want to talk about in just a second. But AJ Styles and Randy Orton, as you've said, Randy Orton is funny because Randy Orton just kind of floats along in the background. I'm never that impressed with him, but obviously he's a solid performer. If you've ever been to a live event with WWE, you'll see how good Randy Orton is with the crowd, no matter what persona he's got. He's always, if he's babyface, he's always got a lot of time for people. And he's obviously, he just gets it. He knows what he's doing and everyone loves him or hates him and they believe in his character, but he never kind of sets the world alight. And then suddenly it gets towards WrestleMania. And as you said just now, suddenly I'm a little bit more excited about him, which I think is, it's a credit to him in a way because he's happy to sort of play that role. Because, I've been watching a lot of stuff from kind of just before I went to university. So like 2007, 8, 9, when Randy Orton was, one of the sort of main guys. And I can't imagine someone with allegedly his kind of level of ego is overly happy with not being one of the big stars, but he's certainly one of the most popular still. So it is nice he can be brought in, to have a decent match.
The problem is that Randy Orton is known for being a bit of a backstage bell, and this isn't like John Cena coming out and shining up, guys.
Did you just say backstage bell?
Yeah, that's exactly what I said.
Okay, good.
Like, not being a particularly nice person and not being like, he's great with the crowd. He's great with the universe. And he knows how to play his role well. It's just this weird thing of, I don't think he's going to ever be the guy to come and shine up other people and put other people over on a regular basis. But I am excited for this match. AJ Styles, every time I've seen him live in a WWE ring, he's absolutely put on a masterclass. So I'm happy with this. I think we could almost go through and just say, Shane O'Mac against The Miz, not so bothered. AJ Randy, really excited about. What else? Talk to me.
Triple H Batista. So I've been watching a lot of old Batista videos on YouTube because I was a really big fan of Batista. One of my favourite moments is when...
Sorry.
One of my favourite moments with Batista was when he had that bad elbow injury and he came back with his cast. And he was against Randy Orton, actually. And everyone thought he was injured and he was going to announce his retirement and then obviously drop the cast and laid Randy Orton out. That was one of my favourite moments with Batista. But the thing that is really worrying me the most, and I think I actually think maybe it's going to be all right at WrestleMania, and that is the only night that this wouldn't be a problem, is that Batista coming out without pyro does not give me a chub. I think at WrestleMania, there's going to be pyro, right?
Yeah. I think so. I loved their back and forth this week, even though it was weird when they were just going, give me what I want, Hunter. I'm not going to give you what you want, Dave. Give me what I want, Hunter. Yeah. I'm not going to give you what I want, Dave. It kind of went back and forth like that for a solid 3 or 4 minutes to the point where it was unintentionally hilarious.
I mean, there's someone on YouTube that's done a 10-hour loop of that backward and forward, isn't there?
100%.
Yeah.
It was, you know, they both showed great fire. Hunter was particularly good with all the Hollywood Dave stuff.
Yep.
It was great. I enjoyed it. As long as what I want from this match, if I'm fantasy booking it, they obviously made it a no holds barred match because that's how old men have to wrestle in order to make it look any decent at all. The problem is Triple H, and we've seen it at all the, you know, Middle Eastern Saudi Arabian events, etc. We've seen it at the last couple of Manias. When Triple H gets in these big matches, these big kind of feature returning people matches, they give them like half an hour, and I'm just like, do you know what I want is 10-11 minutes of Batista and Triple H just battering the absolute cack out of each other with weapons and everything else, and then a decent finish.
Yeah,
I don't want to see two old men really struggling 15 or 16 minutes in because they've forgotten that they're old now.
I think the thing that I'm worried about the most is one of them getting injured. And I kind of feel like one of them is going to get injured because we've seen Triple H kind of get his injured every time he does a match because he kind of wants to be, you know, like how he was. You know, he certainly trains as hard as he used to. But, you know, when you're a bit older, things don't, you know, muscles and tendons and whatever don't, you know, they can't take the rigmarole of being in the ring. And I'm kind of just, yeah, I would rather, like you said, have it short, make it kind of brutal, but you know, the longer it goes on, the more chance we've got of one of them being wheeled out, haven't we?
So Rollins Brock, all in on, love it, can't wait.
Yeah,
women's triple threat, they have stumbled a little bit, but I still think it's going to be brilliant. Triple H, Batista, we talked about AJ, Randy, Shayna McMiz,
the Undertaker will
this is the to be confirmed list. So I think whoever Daniel Bryan faces is Kofi, maybe with others. I'm looking forward to that match. That's on my list of ones I'm looking for. We've then got Angle's last match. Who's that going to be against? Bobby Lashley for the IC title? He can't, surely, if he's retiring. Cena has been suggested in a lot of places. I like that. Bring it back around and, you know, them originally going against each other in that first feud and where it is now. That's probably the most sensible match. And Cena's probably the most willing to put Kurt Angle over, but he's really on the too old to make it look good anymore.
He really is.
And then do we really think that Taker I just can't see that they're gonna do the Demon against the Phenom. I just don't see it happening.
It seems
all
wasteful.
This stuff about him turning up at, you know, Double or Nothing weekend and doing kayfabe interview, breaking interviews, and I just don't think. I think if he was going to wrestle, we'd have seen him by now, surely. But then the whole internet's gone mad about it today.
But the thing is the way the internet goes is one person might have said, well, they'll definitely have the Undertaker on the card, and oh, Finn Balor's suddenly been freed up from his title, and people just put two and two together. And like, and the other thing that's come out today, I don't know if you've seen it yet, is that they've advertised a poster of it, and he's not Finn Balor, he is the Demon. And a lot of people are saying, well, hang on, so if he's being the Demon, that's where's that come from? Well, he must be wrestling The Undertaker, because that's the only person he could possibly... And it's just like, I think there's just a lot of guesswork going on here.
The only way that it works is if they do it as Finn Balor... Like, the next 3 weeks, Undertaker goes after Balor for whatever justifiable reason they can find. Balor snaps. Balor beats him. It shows how, like, he gets a new, not necessarily a heel turn, but less of the smiley Irishman character. And we actually get to see him then become a bit of a badass and go on a, like, maybe he goes to SmackDown and goes after that title, or, you know, whether it's an IC title, but a proper run with it. or even going he could do a great program with Rollins for the Universal title, and that comes full circle back to Rollins and intentionally injuring him when they fought off in the first ever Universal title match. So
yeah,
there's so much you could do with Finn Balor. The only way I like the Undertaker stuff is if it's being used as a vehicle to be like, he's the guy who finally genuinely retired the Undertaker, not when Roman kind of did.
And then he showed up in the Middle East.
And then he gets a big old push.
So, curveball. You've seen it with the Revival. You've seen it with the Usos. Tag teams thinking, we're not going to re-sign. Speculation they want to go to AEW. The Good Brothers. Speculation they're not going to re-sign in September. Do WWE pander to them slightly? They say, what do they want? Well, we want to team up with our brother Finn Balor again. Somehow, those guys team up against each other and there's some kind of, you know, program with them against someone as the non-Bullet Club, but kind of the Bullet Club again. Could that happen? I mean, that's my curveball for you.
It feels like it's been something we've just dreamed for too long. And I don't know. They've been so wasted. So, so wasted, that lot. So I can't see it. I'd love to, but I can't imagine it, I'm afraid.
No. I'm not very good at fantasy booking, am I? I mean, I'm just thinking Undisputed Era versus the good brother club or whatever. You know, they're all the happy, smiley guys. Carl Anderson's there with his abs out all the time. Finn Balor's smiling. And Gallows is just promoting his tattoo business or whatever he promotes on Instagram. You know, they're the good guys. No, can't see it.
Maybe.
That's a real maybe, not going to happen in a million years.
Yeah, that's a maybe. Shut up, John. Let's get on with it.
All right, fine. Do you want to predict who's going to win the Andre the Giant Battle Royale?
I'm going to predict they're not going to happen. They're basically, so this is what we're trying to say. So in the undecided other matches, right?
Yeah.
We've got Asuka is going to have a title match, a Raw tag title match, a SmackDown tag title match, Joe maybe versus Ray, plus others potentially in a multi-match. What's happening with the IC title? Plus, we're going to have some rubbish with Braun and the Saturday Night Live knobs. Plus, we're going to have Roman against Drew, which I love.
Yeah.
Add all that together, we're talking about 14, 15 matches. I think I worked out 16 matches if you include both Battle Royales. That is too much.
And we
that
were at WrestleMania last year, weren't we? And in the Superdome, the seats weren't the most comfortable seats in the world, and we were right in the middle of a row. And if you were there, we were so tired after WrestleMania, weren't we? And we were like, you know, obviously pumped for it, first WrestleMania and everything. And just because of the match, so how many matches they crammed in, it kind of left us. That's the good thing I find about TakeOver is that there's only a set, very few handful of matches, 4 or 5 matches. And it's, you know, it leaves you remembering every match and every match being a winner. Whereas with this, it is kind of like a jamboree of kind of let's try and cram as many people onto this card as possible. And
yeah.
I mean, I'm putting it out there. I'm quite glad I'm going to be watching it at home.
Oh, come on, buddy. You wish you were with me.
You are a radiator in those arenas, Will, and you know you are.
There is that. We've got Sammy there. Sammy could have acted as a buffer.
He's our insulation. He's that weird stuff that you get in your boiler that you don't want to touch because it makes you itchy.
So that's kind of my problem right now, is that while I think actually that WWE are doing some of the best TV they've done in a while and really kind of doing well with, I like the Kofi stuff. I still think the women's triple threat, even though people have gone a bit cold on it, the build is still there and it's still going to be great. When I really look at that card, I go, yeah, maybe half of it I'm really pumped for. And guess what? If this was let me just read you this list, right? Rollins v. Brock, Women's Triple Threat, AJ Randy, Roman Drew, a SmackDown title match with Daniel Bryan, Kofi, and whoever else, the two tag matches, plus the US title match with Joe versus Ray or whatever else. Maybe try and get the women on there in some other way because you've got to have the women's tag on there as well. That's 8 or 9 matches, which would make a great pay-per-view. A great pay-per-view. There's so much else of it that just isn't. Oh, I don't know. It feels like it's going to be 7 hours for just the main show alone.
Or you make WrestleMania a 2-night event.
I would take that.
Could that happen? You could do TakeOver, WrestleMania, WrestleMania. Drop the Hall of Fame. No, like, Hall of Fame, great. Nice to see people getting recognised. Don't care. So you do TakeOver on the Friday, WrestleMania Night 1, SmackDown edition, WrestleMania Night 2, Raw edition, or mix it up if you want to, you know, if one doesn't sell as well as the other. You know, perfect. I'd go for that.
Yeah.
And I go for a smaller arena that's not so massive that, like, you know, you have to pay thousands of dollars to sit near the ring. Won't ever happen, though.
No, probably not.
No.
Do go, if you do want to watch some great wrestling this week, the Dusty Classic tournament stuff they're doing on NXT is great. Mustache Mountain really made Forgotten Sons look great. Aleister Black and Ricochet defeating DIY and then getting the big moment at the end, which was meant to be leading us finally to getting Ciampa Gargano the final part for the title until Ciampa's neck injuries, which they've obviously dealt with at the latest tapings. But DIY lose, Candice Sexton and Gargano, Ciampa joins them. Then you get this tease that Ciampa is about to attack him and throw him into the LED board, and then Gargano does it instead, and it's really, really brilliantly well done. Candice is all in on it. It's superb. And then NXT UK, Kaylee Ray debuted, looked really good, and Walter and Pete Dunne tagged against the Coffees and had a great match, and they didn't do any cheesy, because they've got a title match coming against each other, they distracted each other, and that's what ruined it. So WWE TV is doing a great job at the moment. I just feel like Mania is looking too bloated.
It is a bit. I'm looking forward to Pete versus Walter. I still think Pete will lose the title and show up on Raw or SmackDown.
Yeah, I think you will predict that at least once every 2 weeks for the rest of your life.
Until it happens. I'm just sick of him gloating on Instagram that he's been holding that title for 4 million years.
Yeah, there is that. There is that. Oh. I'd happily have Walter take it.
Okay, how's that pizza going down?
I haven't eaten any of it yet. I've only had the garlic bread. we need to wrap this up.
So any other business before Will gets to eat his pizza?
We haven't looked at other indie shows this week, but if you're going to an indie show at Pro Wrestle Show, let us know. Let us know how it was. Like, I will happily get some people on over the phone or whatever to talk about a card that they went to see and really liked. Like, absolutely. Like, get in touch with us.
Yeah, at Love Pro it. Wrestle Show. We'll work out a time. We'll chat to you.
Anyway, John. Any final stuff?
No, I don't have any. I'll endeavour to actually watch some wrestling this coming week because it's been a little bit busy this week. But I'm as we say, looking forward to a bit of WrestleMania. We've got four weeks to go. Earlier in the day, actually, I'm going to my grandma's 90th, so I will be warming up for WrestleMania with some
in the right way.
Well, the finest harvester in somewhere in Leicestershire has to offer.
Very good.
Can't wait for that. Good. All right. Well, as ever, make sure you give us a 5-star rating. Get us up those charts. You know, leave a comment. Why not? You know, tell us what you think. Only positive stuff. Like, if you don't like it, don't write anything. At Pro Wrestle Show is our Twitter. If you go into any shows, as Will says, if you want to give your thoughts on something we discussed in this podcast or different ones or anything that Dash Wilder had to say earlier or any predictions you got for WrestleMania, basically what we're just saying is you can just send us nonsense. It's fine. We enjoy it.
Yeah, perfect. All right.
Good. Will's going to eat a pizza.
Yeah.
And I'm going to go and watch some golf. You've been listening to the Pro Wrestling Show.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.